Hey y'all, welcome to the Lone Sound Magazine podcast, Music, Culture, Texas. Find us online at lonesoundmagazine.com. And here's your host, editor Jamie Siegel.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Lone Sound podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Siegel, a Dallas-based journalist and editor of Lone Sound. In every episode of the podcast, we have conversations with creatives who are moving culture forward in Texas and beyond. We are always inspired by their stories, and we hope y'all will be too. In this episode of the Lone Sound podcast, I'm speaking with Dawn Okoro. Dawn is a visual and multimedia artist based in Austin, but she recently celebrated the debut of a solo exhibition in the UK. It's at Maddox Gallery in London, and it's showing through March 24th. I was really excited to talk to Dawn, not just because I love her style, but because her background is in journalism, and she was working as a journalist for 10 years or so before she decided to make the leap into art full-time. She tells me about that journey thus far, from learning when to say yes, when to say no, figuring out her bandwidth, finding balance, and setting boundaries. We also talk about her love for fashion and how that's been incorporated into her work, as well as her goals for the future and some of her hobbies. I really enjoyed speaking with Dawn, and I hope to be able to see her in person in Austin very, very soon. But until then, thank you so much, Dawn, and thank y'all for listening. Without further ado, here is the episode. Are we in your studio right now where you're Zooming from?
Yeah, the background's of a big window over there, and the background's a little bit blown out. But yeah, this is my art studio here in Austin, Texas.
Very cool. So you made it through the storm okay?
Yeah, thank goodness. And yeah. I bought some extra water, and the storm wasn't bad enough where I needed, but then the city of Austin is having water issues unrelated, so I still okay. needed the extra water.
Yeah, anyway, so. Good, right? So you're like, it actually helps to doomsday prep with just a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
You've actually now kind of in the last year, let's say, made the leap. You've kind of been doing a lot more painting and art, and you've kind of made the leap into making art your full-time job. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Wow.
Yeah, like it's just, I'm still kind of trying to get the hang of that.
Yeah. So what were you doing before?
Before I was a journalist. For many years, I was a TV news producer here in Austin, and then okay. I switched over to web. So I was dealing with more writing for stories that would be on the web and social media and working with our stations, website and things like that.
Right. That's like quick stuff. Just yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, gotta love a journalism, you know, journalist people. So always big fans of journalist people. And then, you know, you eventually made the leap. Was that was that just something that you really had thought about for a while, or, you know, something that you would always kind of imagine doing eventually? Like, you know, what if I could be a full-time artist? Or you were like, nope, this is it. I'm just taking this leap of faith.
Yeah. Being a full-time artist is something that I've always wanted. You know, from early on, from childhood and teen years and early 20s, I didn't know exactly how I was gonna do it. But it's something I've always wanted to do. But I just started, with my journalism job, I just started, working on my art at night or whenever I wasn't at work. And eventually I just started getting busier with my art, but it wasn't. I had a lot of work to do, but it wasn't enough to like financially, I still needed my day job. It's my bread and butter.
Right.
So, but I just stayed busy to the point where, I mean, when people would ask that a lot, are you a full-time artist? Are you a full-time artist? And I started saying, I am a full-time artist and I also have a full-time job.
Yeah.
So I'm just juggling both.
Yeah. Right. I know that's, how did the pandemic, affect, you know, your productivity and workflow and I guess your inspiration? Cause I feel like it kind of went both ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's been interesting. A lot has changed for me since the pandemic started, I guess.
Yeah.
Like when it initially started, it was like, oh, like, okay, well, I'm totally shy, and it, you know, I was like, okay, cool, I don't have to go to any events anymore.
Right. Those get so tiring for sure. Yes.
And then when the pandemic initially started, like, I just really wasn't in the mood to really create much. So I was one of those people that I was just baking and then eating what I baked, pretty
right?
much.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, this isn't so bad, I guess. Yeah.
It was like, well, I'm cooking and, you know, baking is comforting to me. I used to do it with my mother growing up. And so that's what I was doing at the start of the pandemic. And then Robert Pruitt, who is also an artist, he's from Houston. He was curating a show at the gallery that he's with up in Seattle, Copland Del Rio. Mm-hmm. And he asked me if I would like to be a part of the show. So I was like, sure. And so they wanted drawings. So like, I can do that. You know, I can do a little bit. I'll just do a few drawings. It's not a lot of pressure or a lot of, you know, very low impact for me. So
yeah, like, okay. Cool.
I did that. And then, so that was good. And then another thing that happened was, I think it was like, you know, in May of 2020, that's when George Floyd was murdered. And so there was like a renewed call for, you know, racial equity across the country. And
right.
So that, when that happened, there was like the month where it was like, support Black artists. And <It's a month. laughs> So I was really busy during like that month and a half or so, like all these requests and said, like, selling tons and tons of prints and just so busy during the pandemic. And then after that, just different things would come up here and there, but it just eventually just kind of started to snowball, where I just had all this stuff to do. And then the company Life Water reached out to me to have my art on their bottle. And just
crazy.
A lot of different things happening, to the point where I was just so busy that this past summer was when I was like, okay, I think I just want to be able to focus on my art. But of course, the financial issue is an issue.
Yeah, right.
But I was seeing with all the different projects I have, that it's like, okay, well, maybe I could at least make the same as, you know, what I was making at my journalism job, you know?
Yes, exactly. Right. It's like, if you can break even, then I feel exactly. like you're like, that's a win for sure. Yeah.
And so that's what led up to my decision to just go ahead and take the leap.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations. That's super cool. And, you know, so exciting to be able to create. So how was to create just, you know, full time you have a show coming up in London. Is this your first, I guess, international exhibition, or have you done international stuff before?
Yeah, I've shown internationally before, but it was always, my work was with several other artists as like part of a group show. Yeah.
Okay.
But this is my first solo show out of the country.
Wow. That's huge. Yeah. And Maddox Gallery is, you know, an amazing gallery, you know, extremely, you know, reputable. So they have, I mean, yeah, that's huge. So tell me about this collection of paintings that you have created for the exhibition.
Yeah. So the paintings I made are definitely come out of what is going on in my life, especially at the time that I came up with the paintings, because you know, as I was saying, I was just leaving my day job. I had recently signed with Maddox Gallery, and then I also I also was working with the gallery in Seattle that I mentioned earlier. They wanted to represent me. Wow. So I had that going on. Like, I had a solo show there for the Seattle Gallery, and then Mattis Gallery was like, okay, so well, with that gallery, I mean, it was known that I would eventually do a solo show with them, but I thought it was going to be in LA because they have a gallery there. So it's like, initially that made sense, you know, like, well, you're in the States, but then I shipped some of my current paintings there, but people from London were the ones buying it. So they're like, let's show you here.
Yeah.
And I paint people. So I thought, okay, well, this would be a good chance to do, you know, some new portraits.
Wow. Oh, cool. Okay. So, you know, what's, and I noticed, you know, sometimes you experiment with some of like the mediums, like, you know, painting with Kool-Aid and, some things like that. You know, what are some of the other things that you've been experimenting with and, you know, some of these women or people and these, you know, images, you know, what do they represent? You know, if they're not, you know, individuals exactly, what, you know,
yeah, I and this is also this is probably something that I guess just came out of how I was feeling during the pandemic. But it was like, you know, I started off baking, that's really comforting, and I was thinking of how can I incorporate those comforting feelings into what I do as an artist. And I was thinking, well, as a kid growing up, my mom always served Kool-Aid, you know, with our meals, and so I thought, well, let me experiment with it as paint. And so I did, and you know, that was fun. And I also love to experiment with like wearable art, like, you know, this is, this is an experiment. That
I have I was like, I was like, I need to, did you make those or how did you? Okay. I was like, I was thinking.
It's a headpiece made out of copper. And then there are some stones on it. And these are asthma inhalers that I covered with copper leaf.
Okay. They look so familiar. I was like, what are, I was like, I know what those are, but I can't quite. Okay. That's amazing. Okay. Cause you did, you know, and you know, for all the other listeners, you have done, you know, a lot of that gold leaf, and which is always, you always do it in such a cool, tasteful, unique way, you know, without ever making it look, you know, overdone or, you know, any, you know, it's always like looking at it fresh each time you, you know, you do that. So I just, you know, I love looking at, you know, looking at your stuff. You've done some collaborations with, in public art installations with Austin artists like Mobley, and, you've seemed to support the Austin music scene. What's your relationship with music and, as it relates to your art, and, how, you know, how is the Austin music scene integrated into all that?
You know, just like a lot of people, I enjoy listening to music. I enjoy listening to music while I create, while I'm thinking of ideas or just relaxing. I first started getting involved with incorporating musicians into my art a few years ago when I did a solo show here in Austin at the Carver Museum called Punk Noir. And I wanted to capture the energy of that moment, I guess, that I was feeling in Austin. And so I created pieces of basically people that I knew, which happened to also be artists. So it was
big. And you had lots of headpieces in that exhibition as well, right? A lot of that you did, or well, those, or that, the windows?
There were headpieces. The headpieces were to adorn the mannequins, and they had the mannequins. Jackets that I had made. So I was just trying to play with the idea of like punk and writing things on clothing that might represent you or what you're about and stuff like that.
Okay, cool. Sorry, and I interrupted you going back to the musicians. Sorry.
So I painted you know, several people who are also musicians, and I wanted the paintings to be like, you know, monumental, life size. And so, it was my first time working in that scale. And they were like, the paintings were 6 feet tall. You know, put in the Carver Museum. And I wanted people to walk in and just feel like, wow, like, you know, overwhelmed with the emotion. Right?
That's a lot of paint, huh?
a lot of paint.
And yeah.
Building the canvases was an interesting experience too. A lot going on.
How big are the paintings at the Maddox Gallery exhibition? Are they also that big?
I would have loved to do huge paintings like that. Right now, shipping is like crazy expensive.
I was like, a shipping container or something.
So and also given the time frame, it was just more practical for me to do something a bit smaller. So these are like a quarter of the size of the Punk Noir pieces. So they're like 3 foot by 3 foot.
Oh yeah, that's really neat. The square size. Okay, awesome. And so you just have the Life Water collaboration happen. There's another one that just came out, or is that the same?
No, it was just the one. But PepsiCo is working with this show called America by Design, and so and the show is about different like design innovations. Oh, and cool. they're doing a segment about LifeWater and different things that they've done, because LifeWater reaches out to artists to do their labels. And so they for the show, they interview me just to talk about the piece that I have on the water bottle and how it came about and all that. Mm. And that'll be coming out, like, I guess, like in a week or so.
How is it? That's super exciting. I can't wait to see it. So yeah, we'll look forward to seeing that on, you know, the videos and all that.
Yeah. And after it airs, they post it on YouTube. So I'll be sure to send out the link.
Yes, exactly. How have you, have you noticed since, you know, going full time, and I think it probably does take just like an adjustment, you know, but overall, mm-hmm. but I guess like setting boundaries with yourself and setting deadlines, you know, being a former journalist, you know, like the, mm-hmm. you know, deadline oriented nature of the business, and you know, but being able to also be creative, how have you figured out that balance yet, or learning, when to maybe not take on too much, or when to say yes, when to say no? How's that all that going?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is what I'm dealing with now, and that's one of the main adjustments that I'm dealing with. Because I mean, I told you earlier that I said, oh, I'm a full-time artist and a full-time journalist, but mm-hmm. I thought that once I let go of that journalism part, it's like, oh, wow, I have all this time now. You know,
time to take care of myself and do my laundry. And yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But what happened was, over the past year, I've basically just been like just fielding different offers that just come to me, and I've said yes to a lot of things, and it's you know, cool things to do, but I said yes to a lot of things. So now like I went full time as an artist, but I have like all these projects stacked up. So I don't know how I would have gotten it all done while I still had my day job, but
right.
But yeah, I definitely had so much stuff to do where it's like the focus was just on getting these things done. Like, and so I would just been buried in just getting these things done.
So
a lot of it's been finished now. And so I still have stuff to do, but it's like, I have more time to figure out, okay, now that I'm focusing on art, like what, I never thought about like, what do I want my year to look like? Cause I can only make so many paintings a month or a year. So
right.
Like, what do I really want to do? And yeah, I have to be more discerning about what I take on, because I just have such a limited amount of time, really, as far as like when it comes to creating art. So
you're not like a factory, right? So it's like, you know, you don't want to take the magic out of the painting too.
Like there are some times where it's like, wow, yeah, I do want to paint. I love to paint. I want to create and I want my art out in the world. But at the same time, I don't want to be like a painting factory. And that's something that's hard to explain to people, because when I say, oh, I'm doing okay, but I'm not completely happy, but people don't understand, because they're like, but I thought you wanted to, you quit your day job, though. That's great. That's what artists want. Like, why aren't you fully happy? And so, so that's, you know, part of it.
Right. Where you're like, well, I'm not trying to just like sell out right away and not feel good about it.
Right. No.
But, so what have been helping, I guess, with like, you know, with TV watching. I see your cat has been coming through in the back.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So mm-hmm. I'm like, that's always good to have a furry, you know, a fur baby around for sure.
Yeah, furry friend.
Yes. So, so are there other things that are, you know, ground you, like, you know, yoga or just, you know, meditating, you know, tea, whatever?
Yeah. When the weather's nice, I like to go for walks because I can think. And then the other thing is this is also something that I started in the pandemic, but I started skateboarding.
Oh, no way.
So that's something that's like, I really enjoy. I suck at it, but I enjoy it, because it's like, you with skateboarding, like you have to focus on what you're doing. Cause if you don't, mm-hmm. like you're going to end up like
on your face.
Horizontal, yeah. On the ground. So yeah.
Wow.
That I enjoy.
That's super cool. Wait, so do you have just like, so I longboard. So I have a penny, a nickel board, actually, like a bigger penny mm-hmm. board. And then I have a Sector 9 bamboo longboard that I like. But the skateboarding, I have not ventured. Well, I think maybe when I was younger, but I don't really do mm-hmm. tricks or anything. I just kind of like to go from like A to B. So, yeah. But yeah, have I mean, you been doing same. Tricks or, okay, cool. I was like, have you been like trying out tricks at the park or like?
Well, I'm not even at the point of trying out a trick, but my goal would be to, it would be cool to skate, as good as Lil Wayne.
Right. Okay. Just like, as, that's a good bar, right?
I mean, so I do want to learn a few tricks just for fun. Like I want to be able to go to a skate park and use the little, use their little transitions and just have fun.
Yeah.
But right now I'm just working on turning good.
Yes, exactly.
My goal would be to, if I could learn how to ollie by the end of the year, like, wow, that would be huge for me.
Okay. That's a really good goal. And I think that's like an achievable goal too, for sure.
Yeah. Just kind of get out there and just practice and do it.
Yeah. Right. Well, now it's, you know, here in Dallas, it finally got, it's nice. I think it's going to be like 75 on Saturday or something like that.
Nice.
So, so are you going to be in London for, the gallery opening? Are there any places in London that you enjoy, frequenting or checking out, art gallery, other galleries or record stores, museums?
Yeah. So I'm going to go to London for the show and I'll be there for a few days. And of course, I'm definitely going to be checking out like the Tate Museum, mm-hmm. some other museum they have there. And I'm also, and I don't know where it's located, and so that it depends. But I'm interested in seeing, I guess, the origins of some of the origins of, I guess, what we know as like punk culture, like Vivian Westwood has a store there that was like one of the first stores that sold, it was called Sex. I mean, it used to be called Sex back in the 70s.
Yes, in that neighborhood where like Amy Winehouse lived, I think in that punk neighborhood, I think.
I had no idea what, you know, where it is, but I'm going to look, try to find that and it would be cool to check it out.
I was like,
still a store there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Vivian Westwood's store is there still?
Yeah, that's my understanding. So, that'd be cool to check out.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you ever be interested in doing, you know, fashion collaborations or your own fashion line? Are you a Project Runway person, or you know, what kind? You know, what types of?
I will say that I'm definitely not a Project Runway type mm-hmm. person, because that would be too much. I have too much anxiety to do something like that, but
yeah, same.
Aside from that, I want to do all of that. Like, I want to do fashion collaborations, and I definitely want to have my own line of something. So I'm still still kind of trying to parse that all out.
Right, that's something that's really, you know, cool to. I feel like, you know, a good self care is to just like daydream and brainstorm about all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, though. You know,
yeah.
Like, okay, this could definitely work with accessories and collaborations and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Who's been inspiring you lately, from like music to like fashion to TV or, you know, whatever?
Who's been inspiring me lately? That's a good question. Who's been inspiring me lately? I'm trying to think. I don't know off the top of my head. I have to get back with you.
Okay, yeah. Think about it. Yeah. What type of stuff do you usually listen to in your studio? Do you throw on like your tracks and just shuffle? Or do you set the mood to, you know, kind of get in the right creative headspace?
Yeah, I definitely want to set the mood. It just depends on, just how I'm feeling or what I'm working on. And for me, like, my music tastes are just like all across the board. You know, like I'll listen to hip hop, or like, especially like a lot of 90s music, 90s hip hop and mm-hmm. R&B. And then of course I enjoy listening to rock or like punk. A lot of the punk I listen to is people that are Austin based. So I enjoy listening to their music, and just whatever I'm feeling at the time.
Cool. What punk bands from Austin should I start listening to?
I would recommend Pleasure Venom.
Pleasure Venom.
And it's led, it's a woman-fronted band.
Cool.
And I'm actually working on their album cover.
Oh, wow.
And so that'll be cool when it comes out.
Yeah.
And another one I recommend is Blaxploitation.
Blaxploitation. Okay.
Yes. And it's spelled, and I may be saying this wrong, but it's spelled B-L-X, P-T-N, something like that. But
with like without the vowels or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, those are a couple good ones to check out.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I will definitely check those. I love a female fronted band also. So that's mm-hmm. always great to see. You know, what I guess has been the most rewarding thing that made this whole, journey so far worth it, where you were like, oh my gosh, am I crazy for doing this, but maybe a little bit crazy, but you're like, okay, yeah, this is definitely I made the right choice.
I've definitely been having moments where I was like, am I crazy for doing this? Because I mean, when I this past August, like when I initially left my job working at the TV station, I guess leading up to it was like exciting, like, yay, I'm gonna do this. And then when it finally happened, I don't know what changed, but I just started feeling a lot of, I don't know, I started like something that I hadn't felt in a while, and I thought I had gotten better with it, but I just started feeling a lot of self-doubt, like, should I be doing this? What am I doing? Oh my God, what if I don't, I don't know, just lots of doubt. And it's really been kind of, just coming in and out. But I'm feeling, feeling better at this moment. I think what helps is just talking to fellow artists, mm-hmm. It just kind of helps, just bring you back into reality. Like, look, you're not crazy. This is okay. People are responding to it, so, mm-hmm. but that's definitely something that I, deal with and just kind of have to, work on.
Right. Just like a normal thing. It's crazy how it, I can completely relate to that feeling of like that imposter syndrome or self-doubt, mm-hmm. or like, am I actually like, are people like, are people catching on yet that I have like no idea what I'm doing? Yeah, exactly. I'm like, they're gonna know. But how I guess is your relationship with like social media and using that as a way to sell, you have to have this presence online of like selling your artwork and things like that, mm-hmm. but then also like not like, has that ever been like a problem for you of just being like overly, I guess, spending too much time on social media?
Like for me, social media has been a really has played a big part in really meeting people that are, I guess, that are related to the arts community, whether other artists or collectors or curators. And this goes back to even way back when I first started my first attempt at being an artist, which is way back when people were using MySpace.
I had my MySpace. Yes.
Yeah. And I met people there that I'm still, still friends with to this day. I met
wow.
a mentor there.
That's crazy. Wow.
So I guess, it's doing posting and, dealing with social media has come, kind of flowed pretty naturally as far as like, posting my process and this, but yeah, it does. I do end up, I'm better about it now, but there have been times where I was just like, find myself like, why am I still like scrolling? Like, what am I doing?
Even that's what happened.
People's stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me. The first time I got on TikTok, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is a huge time suck. Extremely dangerous. Yeah. This is extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like, nope, I can't do it. I'm like, I can't have this.
it's helped to just kind of put it down for a while. Cause I know like sometimes I just want to like take just not use social media, just take a way long time off.
Right.
But if I have something going on, I need to, share and post about it. So just like, I need to just have more healthy boundaries with that, So I try to, ideally I would just get on when I need to post my stuff. And of course, look at other people's stuff, but don't just spend, you know, spend a long time on
right
that, you
know? I know, I'm like, they've gotten me so many times with like the shopping ads. I'm like, dang it, like I'm like, stop showing that to me. I don't want to see
right,
it
anymore. It's like, how do you know I like that, you know?
Yeah, right. I'm like, this, I'm like, I don't have an Alexa, but it probably doesn't matter anyway.
Exactly. Like,
how would you describe your own style and aesthetic?
I would describe it as I mostly paint portraits. It's not realism, but somewhat realistic looking. I like to use bright, saturated colors on the background and on the people and their clothing. And you know, when I paint people, there's, you know, usually like a deep shadow across their skin and and body. And yeah, that's how I would describe it.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Dallas Music Network is a nonprofit organization with a mission to help musical artists reach their full potential through film, performance, recording, and collaboration opportunities. Stream Dallas Music Network shows on demand on Two Stage TV. Available on Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, and Android TV. Dallas Music Network is made possible in part by a generous gift from Timothy R. Wallace. For more information on becoming a part of the Dallas Music Network sponsorship team, contact Beverly Perry. Email Beverly at DallasMusicNetwork.com.
You know, are there any special pieces to you that that you would never sell, that are just, you know, super sentimental to you as an artist?
I've never made a piece where I was like, I'll never sell it. But right now, as I've been selling more of my work, it's been like, well, I do want to keep, you know, some of these pieces. So, you know, I mentioned that punk noir series I did in Austin, or for the Carver Museum in Austin. Like, I still have some of those pieces, and I'm thinking about, you know, just holding on to some of them. Mm-hmm. I'm like one of my favorite one is of a musician named Kidada, and she's part of a group called Riders Against the Storm here in Austin.
Okay.
But cool. But her portrait, at least as of now, I've decided I'm going to keep it. So I've got it hung up in my living room.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Right. I know, sometimes you're like, I want the, like, never say never, I guess, but sometimes depending, you're like, if you could do an album cover, or a piece for any artist, alive or dead, you know, or, you know, who would you want to create for?
Wow. That's a good question. That's a very good question. You said dead is okay too.
Yeah. Dead's okay.
It'd be cool to, I would say Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. Awesome,
you know? Right. Yeah. That would be really, really cool. Yeah. I would love to see what your mind would think up for that. That would be super cool. Right. I mean, he definitely is. Yeah. I was like, and I'm sure there's some awesome Jimi Hendrix spots in London too. I'm not.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not sure where. I can recommend one cool place that I went to called Spirit Land, and it's for like people who love music, but it's a cocktail bar and just an awesome place to go see. They have like jazz or like jazz DJs that are always like really, really good. So
jotting that down right now. Spirit Land.
Okay. Spirit Land. Yeah. Their tagline is "Come home to music." It's very cool.
Okay. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Are there any other things that we haven't talked about yet as far as like your art goes, or, you know, your personal style, or just, you know, being an artist, you know, a full-time artist these days and just figuring it out like the rest of us, and how you stay motivated and.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, I think, the figuring it out part. I mean, yeah, that's just definitely an ongoing thing. Like, I'm, you know, definitely not a person that feels like I have it all figured out, and as I enter different phases, like my feelings are different, or it feels different than, you know, than what I would expect. And you know, like I mentioned earlier, that I was feeling just kind of down on myself for some reason, like earlier when I had first made the venture into being full-time. But I feel much better at this point. And, you know, like talking to other artists has helped. And I'm just really, at this point, I'm just really excited about the next stuff I'm going to make in the future. So I'm excited because I've been really wanting to try something new, even with the look of my painting. So I'm just really looking forward to that.
So have you kind of been experimenting with all of that already since you've wrapped the paintings for the Maddox Gallery exhibition?
I haven't been experimenting with that at all.
I
have basically, there's been like, you know, life stuff going on.
Of course, yes.
And then I've had a couple of other projects to finish up, even though it's not as much pressure as it was trying to finish those paintings for Maddox Gallery, because it was 12 paintings, which is not too bad, but again, like life, there was a lot of life, non-art related life stuff going on to where I wasn't even able to paint every day.
And then you're like emotionally exhausted and just,
exactly. But I'm, you know, coming to the light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm just excited. About making new work.
Yeah, that is, it's nice. It's also like when you have all this life experience, you know, I guess fortunately, you know, you can turn it into art, which is always kind of cool. So who are some of your favorite artists you've always kind of loved, you know, or that you've seen in person, or, you know, that inspire you?
So I'm thinking all the way back to, I guess, like high school, and like, and they, I took art, you know, I took art classes, and they would introduce us to, I guess, some of the top known artists out there in the world. But one of the people that I first learned about in high school was Andy Warhol. And I was really drawn to his work, and also just to his persona as a person. Cause I read, you know, I watched tons of documentaries about him and read, you know, read books about him, but I guess I felt drawn to him in the sense that, like, I always felt like, just like I stuck out, just different, not fitting in. And so I kind of related to his work in that way. And even, you know, when I first started painting or really taking it seriously, like I, you know, was inspired to do like the solid bright background, you know, kind of like he did his screen prints.
Right.
Another artist would be Wangechi Mutu. She's a Kenyan artist.
Okay.
She does a lot of, works in a lot of mediums, but she's known for doing collages, and her work, it features people, but it's very, very, earthy. It's very, very emotional. And so I love her work. And I got to meet her for a little bit when she came, she had a show here in Austin. And so, you know, like the part where you line up to take pictures.
Take
a picture with her. Those are a couple of my favorite artists.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's incredible. I know, right? Sometimes it is worth it. I got to, when Takashi Murakami came to the Modern in Fort Worth, I got to, do a photo, for my old job, because we put him on the cover of our magazine at the time, and I got to interview him like through his translator.
Oh, wow.
So through his translator for 3 minutes, but you know, I was like 3 minutes, but I'm like, I do have a picture to prove it. So I did get to, I did ask him what kind of music he liked to play in his studio. And he said he likes to play like dance music, like EDM.
Oh, I could totally see that.
Yeah. Right.
I like his work. I first learned about it, like, I guess maybe about 20 years ago, like when he started that collab with Louis Vuitton. And that's when I learned about his work, and I was like, wow. So I'm interested in the ways that he's, you know, collaborated with you know, designers and things like that too.
Oh yeah, right. I know, exactly. I know. There's so much cool stuff to come, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So have you been in talks with any fashion designers yet?
No talks with any fashion designers, but what I'm working on at this point is like just ideas of what I want to do, and also what can I do, or what makes sense and is also practical. So I definitely I'm going to be making something fashion related, but I don't know what
yet. Yes, yes.
I'm putting that out there in the universe. So.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm getting the time, the creative time to think about it. And, you know, mm-hmm. Do you sew? Can you sew and stuff like that? So you can kind of make some prototypes together.
That's a good question. If you were to ask, can I sew? Well, I mean, when I was at UT, I went to UT here in Austin, and and back then, I knew I wanted to be working like a creative field, but I felt pressure that like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. So I was like, I'll do something else. Like, you know, I'll be pre-med or whatever. But in between that, I took lots of fashion design classes, and, you know, those classes involved like pattern making and sewing. So I did learn how to sew through that.
Yeah.
I think I won't, but sewing is definitely a skill. Like, I made the most perfect thing I ever made was a silk skirt. You know? So I know how to sew, but it would be ideal if someone else sewed it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not, good at it, but I can sew. And so I was even thinking about, you know, maybe putting a sewing machine in here just so I can at least, you know, play with some, you know, some ideas.
Right. Exactly. Fabric, right. At least to get the idea out there, and then somebody can be like, okay, I've got you. I mean, it really is to find a good, tailoring and like, you know, I mean, it's definitely an art form too.
The precision and
fit and all that stuff. So
yeah, especially if you want it to be like good quality too.
Yeah, like structured, or you want it to lay right. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I have so much respect. I'm like, I say what you want, but it's like, I do love fashion. Like, I do love to look to see like what people are doing, you know, what all the fashion houses are doing. It's, you know, it's always, it's always inspiring, and it's always to see how it all relates back to like music and interior design and all of that stuff too. You're like, what, you know, it's all, you know, it's always so neat. So, well, thank you so much, for your time. If there's anything is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners, any other shout outs? Or anything you like to give?
I would say if there's something you want to do, and you know, you've been hesitant about doing it, and, you know, if it's positive, I say just go for it.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Dawn, thank you so much, and we'll look out for the video about the water bottle collaboration, and then also looking forward to seeing all the stuff, content from the Maddox Gallery exhibition, February 24th through March 24th.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Well, have a great rest of your day and enjoy the sun.
All right. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting later. You. Hope to see you in real life sometime soon.
Yeah, someday.
Yes. Bye. And that's a wrap for this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really appreciate y'all's support. Please follow us on all the social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and of course, YouTube. Our handle is @LoneSoundMag, and you can visit our website at lonesoundmagazine.com. Thanks again, and see you guys next time. Bye.